Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You're back in the sports bar, and it's time for us to check in with our old pal, Chris Trapasso. One of our regulars here in the sports bar, doing great work out of the 585 for CBSSports.com. Good with his time and joining us in the sports bar. Chris, first and foremost, it's been a long time. It was pre-draft, I think, the last time that we spoke to you. So we have to check in and say just how you and yours are holding up through the pandemic. Everything good in your world?
Yeah, everything's going good, and it's great to be back on the show, and just great that this show is back on the air.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate that, Chris. Chris, we want to ask about the Bills draft class. I know Danger is really excited to get your thoughts on Josh Allen, but I think a lot of us are just kind of wondering the simple question, is there going to be a football season? And you know, you talk to people in this industry, and your job is to evaluate college talent as far as where they project in the NFL draft. So how is this impacting your preparation? And I mean, what's your opinion? Do we actually get a college football season this fall, or do the Power Five conferences say, you know what, better to wait till the spring?
Well, yeah, I'll start with college. I'm pretty skeptical that there's going to be a college football season on time. I just don't know how so many different schools across the entire country being able to have those schools in class, like to have class be in session, to then allow these teams to be able to play games. I do think, though, that the NFL, because of just how much money that these owners don't want to lose, and their access to all the testing that they'll be able to do, I think the NFL season, it might look a little different, of course, without any fans at all, or maybe 25% capacity in these stadiums, but it's kind of changing my job in that I'm just not expecting a normal college football season. I think it might happen in the spring, if at all, and we might have a lot of these players that will be 3 years removed from high school at that point that will just not play in a spring college football season and go right into the NFL draft. So it'll be unprecedented for sure, and we'll have to be watching film from 2019 to kind of gauge where these players should be picked.
How much will that hurt prospects like a Trevor Lawrence off the top of my head? I think, you know, okay, we're not going to see him play his third year at Clemson. What does that mean for his future as a potential NFL prospect?
Well, I think someone like Trevor Lawrence and even Justin Fields at Ohio State, the top two quarterback prospects, it's not going to hurt them a bunch because what they've already put on film is going to catapult them to the top of the draft. But of course, and we see it every year throughout the college football season and then the pre-draft process, that there's fringe first, second, third rounders that move up and down the board based on, obviously, the play in their final season at the college level. There's a lot of offensive tackles and safeties in this draft class that it's kind of a group of, yeah, this guy could be a first rounder, but I want to see him play. So it will definitely, if that happens, and we don't have a full college football season or one at all in the fall, it's just going to lead to a lot of question marks, and more so than ever, significantly more, there will be draft boards that will look completely different across the NFL landscape and for draft analysts like myself.
Yeah, CBS Sports, Chris Trapasso, our guest here in the sports bar. If we can fire some questions about the Bills draft class, because we didn't see anything. There weren't any mini camps. We're hoping for training camp here pretty soon. Zach Moss, the third round pick, Chris, how did you like him coming out, and how do you think he fits in this Buffalo backfield?
I believe he was my number five running back in this draft class, which is a little different than Devin Singletary, who was my top running back in the 2019 class. But it's interesting because they're a little bit different size. Moss is a little more compact. He's bigger, 215, 220 pounds. So he's your traditional power back frame. But they're similar runners in that they're not going to hit 75-yard touchdowns because they're not super fast, but they're both built low to the ground. They have great contact balance. Obviously, Moss packs a little bit more power to fall forward as he's being tackled. And they have just enough elusiveness or lateral agility to make defenders miss. I mean, if you look at a lot of those Pro Football Focus stats over the last couple of years, forced missed tackles, yards after contact, Devin Singletary is near the top of that list at Florida Atlantic. And right there from 2016 on, Zach Moss at Utah is right up there with him in those two very important statistics, being able to force missed tackles and then create more yards after contact. So I think Moss will be a good complement, and he'll definitely have more juice than the Mike Tolberts and the Frank Gores. But it is not someone that just because he's bigger than Devin Singletary that he's a different style of back. I think the Bills know what they want stylistically at the running back spot. They drafted Devin Singletary, and they got a bigger version of him. Maybe not as much elusiveness, but a similar style in Zach Moss.
Chris, was it always going to be A.J. Epineza in the second round? Because I remember doing the pod that night with Gino, and we were doing live reaction, and all I could think to myself is, you know what? K.J. Hamler is still there. They've got another dynamic playmaker on the board. K.J. Hamler is... Oh, K.J. Hamler got picked by Denver. And I thought for a second there that if Hamler would have been on the board, that the Bills maybe would have gotten another dynamic kind of like playmaker for their offense. Instead, we get A.J. Epineza, which isn't bad, and certainly he fits the mold of a Sean McDermott guy. Do you think he was always the first choice there for the Bills in the second round?
Well, I mean, I think he probably was, but I think when the draft began, A.J. Epineza was probably really not on the Bills' radar, picking at 54 where they did, because a lot of people, including myself, thought that he would go somewhere in the back part of the first round, if not one of the first few picks in round two. I thought that's where Epineza would ultimately fall. I had him graded out as a back end of the first round talent before the draft. But I do think the idea of Hamler was probably out there, because for as good as John Brown and Cole Beasley are, they are 30 now. So I think the Bills could be looking a little bit toward the future. But really, though, with the trade for Stephon Diggs, I think while you're always looking for the future, I think Brandon Bean is in certainly win now mode, and not just make the playoffs, but win playoff games. So I think with Epineza losing Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips on that defensive line, Epineza can play both spots. If you're asking him to just play defensive end and rush the passer, I think you'll see similar to Shaq Lawson in terms of pass rushing ability, not tremendous just as an edge rusher, but he's bigger than Shaq Lawson. He's 6'4", 6'5", almost 280 pounds. And the times at Iowa when he got to play inside, that's when he was the best, because he's very strong, very powerful, great pass rushing move. So I think not a supreme athlete for the defensive end spot, but he's a pretty good athlete inside a defensive tackle. And we know how Sean McDermott likes to have a heavy rotation and likes these players to play different spots. That's why I think they felt like this was probably a first-round or early second-round pick available in the middle of the second round.
We're talking to Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports. I think we all thought the Bills were going to take a wide receiver the previous year, and they ended up taking one. They took two, actually. But I want to get your thoughts on Davis, the fourth-round receiver out of UCF. And I guess he comes in knowing that really he's not competing for a starting spot, not with what's ahead of him. But if you project down the road, what type of receiver is he? How might he fit in this Buffalo offense?
Well, what I really liked about him as a prospect is that he looks like he has an NFL body. He's like 6'2", over 200 pounds, so you're not saying, oh, he's only on the outside, or he's small, he's only in the slot. So he has good size, and he's very explosive for being that size. Didn't run incredibly fast, but I thought off the line of scrimmage at UCF, instant acceleration. And really, in that offense in college, this is where I think it's going to hurt him a little bit. They asked him to run a go route, a post route, and a slant, basically. He was very productive running those three main routes. But in terms of routes where he had to change directions, he wasn't really doing that very often. He tracks it very well down the field. And because he's so big and so explosive, he's pretty good after the catch, too. He's not going to make defenders miss, but he'll drag defenders. Weak arm tackle attempts are not going to bring him to the turf. I just think this is kind of an unfortunate offseason for him because he's the one that needed mini camp reps, a lot of training camp reps, reps in the preseason against NFL cornerbacks before he could maybe even emerge as the number four on this team. I think he truly, even though he was picked in the fourth round, is someone 2021 and beyond that I think the Bills just like his big playability and his speed and size combination.
Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com, joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Chris, you know, the rookies are going to be impacted by this. The undrafted guys are going to be impacted by this, the coronavirus. No OTAs, no mini camps, no preseason games. I mean, how can the Bills, or any roster for that matter, really be shaped when you don't get those real game reps and you're only really judging people based on their performance within practice?
Yeah, it's huge. It's going to have a seismic impact because what, like a third of the league is made up of like undrafted free agents? Like those are players that for some reason or another aren't picked but ultimately show they can play and be good players in the NFL. What I think will happen is that, of course, you know, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, coaches and GMs around the league are going to be really evaluating and zeroing in more than ever on these players during their training camp. And that's where they're going to ultimately have to make the decision. But we're not going to see really any at all, I don't think, of teams poaching other undrafted free agents after they're cut, because outside of, oh, hey, maybe I liked this guy in the draft, I haven't seen him play. So, yes, I think it's going to be more of an uphill battle for a seventh rounder or an undrafted free agent guy to ultimately make a team. But in that early September period where we see guys put on practice squad and then teams poach them, I don't think we're going to see that. I think teams are going to be able to retain a lot of these players and say, hey, we don't really have a firm grasp on how good he can be right now, but with expanded roster sizes likely, bigger practice squads, I think teams will be able to keep them there and not have to worry about other teams taking them onto their 53-man roster right away.
What about the guys, the quarterbacks that went in round one? Because normally you have the ramp-up time, and then you certainly have the preseason when the speed of the game is much different. Chris, the norm now is to get these rookie quarterbacks in as quickly as possible because you're on that rookie clock where you're not paying them as much. But is this year going to be different? I mean, might we expect perhaps that probably Burrow starts, but would you expect Ryan Fitzpatrick to be the guy in Miami and Tyrod Taylor perhaps to be the guy, the veteran with the LA Chargers, knowing that these rookies might not? What's your take on the rookie first round picks at quarterback?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I do think we will see those two former Bills quarterbacks starting for probably longer than they would have in any other offseason. I mean, during the pre-draft process, like before coronavirus hit, you know, everyone said, hey, if the Dolphins pick Tua Tagovailoa, Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to start for one or two games, and they're going to throw him out there because there's so much hype around him. And then they ultimately pick him. He's coming off a pretty unprecedented hip injury that we just don't see quarterbacks have very often. He's not a great athlete for the position, and he's about 6'1" and 200 pounds. He's not a big quarterback that they don't necessarily want him to take hits if he's not processing the speed of the NFL, like you mentioned, quickly right away. So I think Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know what you have with them, obviously. And I think, although, yes, teams do want to get their rookie quarterbacks on the field, I don't think there's going to be any rush for the Dolphins, and certainly not the L.A. Chargers with Justin Herbert, who might be a little bit behind in terms of the advanced intricacies of playing the quarterback position, to pushing those guys on the field where they could maybe have more harm done to them than actually what can benefit them in the future.
All right, Chris, here we go. This is all, I should preface by saying this is all fueled by what Bill Barnwell wrote at ESPN.com a few weeks ago when he was giving a comparison for Josh Allen. And Josh Allen in 2019, statistically speaking, is about the same quarterback that Tyrod Taylor was for the 3 years that he was in Buffalo. We all like Josh. And we all believe in his upside. You've been watching the kid since before he was drafted by the Buffalo Bills. What do we need to see in terms of an improvement out of Josh Allen in year three? And it does it go beyond the deep ball? I think it does. I think it has to go way beyond just the deep ball.
Well, yeah, I think it starts there, though. When you're adding Stephon Diggs, you have the weapons. He can't lean on anything. I mean, not that he has already, but there's nothing, oh, I don't have the receivers, I don't have the offensive line. I mean, I think certainly continuity up front and just on your entire team, and the Bills have, what, the most continuity in the entire NFL, is going to be huge given this offseason. The deep ball needs to get considerably better. He was basically the worst deep ball passer in the NFL last year, and some of the misses were close. Some of them were not close, and I think Stephon Diggs, his contested catch rate, has been the best in the league since 2017, I think it's right around 68% of the time he's coming down with the football. So for not being a big receiver, he will help. But some of the misses to John Brown were 5 yards over his head. I think beyond that, what Josh Allen needs to do, of course, is get rid of the hero ball interceptions where he's rolling right and kind of throws it across his body. There was a few passes that weren't interception that could have been later in the season. And this might sound weird, but for as much as I think that he is very dangerous with his legs, and especially when the Bills get in the red zone, they should utilize him there, I think he needs to not take as many hits and not instantly resort to running with the football if he doesn't like what he sees. He's going to see wide receivers open in Stephon Diggs, John Brown, and Cole Beasley to not just solely become a pocket passer, but not just turn to his legs right away. I mean, I think that will help Bills sustain drives when they need it. But he made a big step forward in the intermediate range. And really, he played a lot like he did in his second to last season at Wyoming when he had some NFL talent on the roster and the offensive line was good. So I think it's beyond the receivers. If the Bills can continue to protect him well, he needs to not hurt them by running into pressure, by, you know, creating pressure for himself that's not there. So I think just being a little bit more calm inside the pocket, and we saw a step in that right direction from his rookie year to year two. In year three, he needs to show that he can be even more comfortable in the pocket, continue to be accurate, short to intermediate level that we really didn't think he could do after watching him as a rookie, and then connect, maybe not be the best deep ball passer in the league, but just not be the worst. And I think that will really help this Bills offense. Still going to want to run the football. I like Singletary and Moss, but Josh Allen just more comfortable and not leaning on his legs too often.
Talking to Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, who certainly evaluates all these players coming into the year. And I know you're keeping track on Sam Darnold. We talk about New England, but certainly Darnold, year two, got sidetracked with the mono. And here he comes in year three and all the different coaching changes. But Gase still remains. Gosh, I mean, what do you make of Sam Darnold, his pro career so far, and could he end up being the best quarterback when it's all said and done? Could he finally make that leap this year, Chris?
I don't think he can, and I will say that perception of these quarterbacks as their prospects, that kind of dies hard, and certainly me being a draft analyst, not easy for me to just remove what I thought about them when they were in college. But after we've seen these guys play a couple seasons, you get a better idea of just truly who they are at the pro level. And it's funny because Josh Allen took a step forward, but again, I mean, everyone acted like he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn when he was coming into the league in 2018. But a lot of his accuracy issues stemmed from him being under pressure and him trying to do too much when Wyoming played Boise State and Iowa. In the Mountain West games, when he was protected well, he was able to throw accurately. And that's the one little sliver that I liked about Josh Allen, because you love the physical traits, but that in a good environment, he showed that he could produce. Sam Darnold, I have not seen any development. In his final year at USC, He led the NCAA in turnovers. That was fumbles and interceptions. Threw a lot of them, but was careless with the football inside the pocket. And yes, you did see those wild throws all the time, and he started very early. He was like the youngest starting quarterback in NFL history, 21 years old. But I don't think, to kind of compare him again to Josh Allen, I don't think the Jets have done a great job building around him. And like you mentioned, different coaching staffs, guys in and out. They let Robbie Anderson walk in free agency. They drafted Denzel Mims out of Baylor, the wide receiver. I like him, but the receiver group compared to the Bills receiver group and offensive line, it's kind of night and day. So I think, yes, he's still young, but he's played, you know, 2 years at USC, 2 years with the Jets, and he's the same roller coaster quarterback that will make five insane throws every game, but then also five or six turnover-worthy plays. So I just don't know if the Jets have built around him enough, and I really didn't see a step forward in year two from him from that, you know, turnover tendency that he has.
Chris, are you working through the pandemic for CBSSports.com? Are you putting up any content, anything that our listeners can check out? That, I mean, with all this uncertainty, I wouldn't blame you if the answer was no. We're just waiting for something to happen, but is there anything that you got going on?
Yeah, I do actually, because beyond the draft, what I kind of transitioned into last year is that I'm, after evaluating a few draft classes, they want me to just evaluate young NFL players too, like the guys that I was evaluating in college. So last year I did the series watching all the first and second year quarterbacks playing. So I'll be doing more of that. And actually right now I have for AFC and NFC one up today, a sleeper rookie for all 32 teams that I think could make some noise despite this unprecedented offseason. And actually for the Bills, I picked Dane Jackson, the cornerback out of Pitt. I think he's very similar to Taron Johnson, smaller slot cornerback, not crazy fast, not crazy athletic, but he's just always around the football, had 26 pass breakups in his last 26 games at Pitt and fared very well at the Senior Bowl. So look for those two articles up on CBS Sports right now, the non-round one picks that I think could actually make some noise as rookies.
Chris, great stuff as always. It's great to hear your voice, and let's hope for football this fall. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, really appreciate your time today.
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
You got it. Chris Trapasso, love the work that he's doing over there at CBSSports.com, and I love that it's happening right here in the 585.
Yeah, so some good stuff there, stuff to chew on. And Bills fans, do you feel a little bit better when you hear that stuff about the draft class? Look, he let Epineza, I didn't think of him as a first rounder. I didn't, but you just knew the Bills were going to take it. By the way, that podcast, you could search it out, Danger and I, Draft Night, we did a real-time podcast, and the whole time was like, they're going to take him.
Yeah.
They're going to take him.
There he is.
Yeah. Yep.
If you missed any of Chris Trapasso, if you came in late, radio.com Rewind allows you to go back and listen to any part of the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia that you may have missed. You can use it for up to 24 hours of any show. So Chris Trapasso, we'll get that up on demand for you shortly as well at ESPNRochester.com and the radio.com app. All right, NFL appetizers on the way next. News and notes from around the National Football League, and we serve them up to you in bite-sized form. There's plenty to get to, including a statement from the Buffalo Bills out to season ticket holders, an email that was sent out to season ticket holders. We'll dive into that. We'll give you the latest between the NFL and the NFLPA on what to do with all of their financial losses in 2020. And
that's
more.
Yeah, that's the point.
It's all coming up. NFL appetizers, the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester is excited to introduce Radio.com Rewind. Radio.com Rewind. It's your way to check out and listen to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. If you missed it over the past 24 hours, on-demand audio of Rochester's only local sports talk show and afternoon drive. Download the Radio.com app and select and favorite ESPN Rochester. Maybe you missed a big interview, something funny, or just want to hear the entire show. Easy to navigate. Pause and rewind any length of segment you choose or take a listen to the entire show. It's the all-new Radio.com Rewind from ESPN Rochester. Download the Radio.com app now and rewind up to 24 hours so you can catch anything you might have missed on the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Listen the way you want, when you want. Only from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.